Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath to you and to all those in our listening audience this morning. We welcome you and we thank you for tuning in to listen to this service today. I'm going to be preaching from Job chapter 21 and verse number 15. I've entitled this sermon, Is Prayer Profitable? As we begin today, I would invite you to join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, would you please send your Holy Spirit here to help us to rightly divide the word of truth. Send your Holy Spirit to speak to us personally. Guide us, give us wisdom and understanding. And above all, Lord, we pray that we will see Jesus, and we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, you know, in this text here, in Job chapter 21, verse 15, the question is being asked, what is the Almighty God, the Almighty, that we should serve him, and what profit should we have if we pray unto him? In verse 14, it says, therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways, because something has been happening in their life. And if you look what Job is talking about here in this particular chapter, he's recounting how some of the people who have not been doing what God wants them to do have come into some bad times, and they blame it all on God. And they're saying, what's the point of praying? God's not answering anyway. Well, you know, if you look back in Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, when Moses and Aaron were speaking to Pharaoh to let God's people go, listen to what he says. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. This seems to be a common thought among many people, that they feel that God is not there, God is not listening, God is not answering any prayer, so what's the point? What profit does that give to me? Well, you know, we ask questions sometimes and are raised for several reasons. One is they attract attention to a particular item or object or situation. It's also to cause us to start to consider. You know, if people don't ask us questions sometimes, we don't really think about issues that are affecting us and other people. And questions also are raised so that we can find answers. The important questions, I think, are a part of our text here. There's two questions that are being asked. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? I don't know what it's been like in your life, but if you're faithful to God and you've been praying, you have been seeing answers to God's providence in your life. God does answer prayers. And God does hear what we say. God is more than willing to answer prayers for each one of us. And we're living in an age, I think, of profit, where everybody is looking at the bottom line. The almighty dollar is what dictates the life of many people today. The value of the dollar dictates our ability to be frugal and to enjoy prosperity. The wages and the profit system go hand in hand today. Listen to this. In Matthew chapter 16 at verse number 26, the question is being asked here in Matthew chapter 16 at verse number 26. And Jesus is making this statement here, and he's talking to the disciples, and he says, if any man will come after me and take up his cross and follow me, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever's life will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now in verse 26 he says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, those are important questions. What is the value of having a connection to God? What is the value? Is the things that this world has to offer to us more profitable, more valuable than what God gives to us through his redemption at Calvary? Is what we attain in this life, this hunger for more that many people have, is that more important than the eternal life that God has promised us through Jesus Christ? You see, friends, there are mountains of junk stored everywhere. People have their houses full. They rent storage areas to put their excess into. There are people that throw away mountains of things. Look at the mountain that's in Indianapolis from all of the junk that has been dumped there. You go out to Morristown and you see a large mountain out there. Almost every community has some place where they dump their junk. And it is building up. And this hunger for more is something that is going around the world. But what does it profit us to follow after God and to pray to him? Is there something that will benefit us? You know, in 1 Timothy at chapter 6, it says there, in beginning in verse number 5, it says, "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself." And it goes on to say in verse 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." You see, this hunger for more that many people, all of us, I think, in some way are hungering for something that the profit system of this world affords to every one of us. But godliness with contentment for what God has given to us is great gain for us. It is what God intended for us. In verse 7, it says, "For we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out." Job said this same thing in Job chapter 1, verse 21, that he had brought nothing into the world. "And having food and raiment, let us be content therewith. And but they will be that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and receiving and being deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." You see, that's where the real profit comes from, is knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and spending time in His Word so that we can find out what His will is for our life. We oftentimes replace God with the things of this world, and we hunger for more when what really is hungering in our very soul is this God of the universe that you and I need so much. We need God. Is prayer profitable? You know, they raised this question to begin with, as indicated in this text. No, prayer does not profit him that exercises in it. You see, that's what they're saying. No, prayer doesn't really benefit it at all. We speak these words, God doesn't hear, He doesn't care, He's not near us, He doesn't listen, and He never answers. And so there are many people that feel that same thing. People over the years of my ministry have told me, you know, I've tried Christianity, I've tried God, it doesn't work. Well, it does work. And I'm a witness today of how God answers prayers. And I believe that everyone who has given their life to Jesus Christ has been given their life to Him as a result of prayer, that somebody prayed for us. I know my mother prayed many days for me. It took a lot of prayer to open my heart to God. And I know that there are many people that are in the same kind of situation, that somebody has been praying for them, and because of those prayers, they have opened their heart to the Holy Spirit, and they have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they begin to really profit in their life, not in the finances of the world, but in the blessings and grace of Jesus Christ in their life. You see, there are many things that will profit us that are apart from the finances of the world. There are many people that have this attitude that because God's not giving them what they want, that God doesn't hear, that God doesn't answer. Sometimes God says no to us and doesn't give us what we're asking for because He knows it's not the best thing for us. He knows what is good for us, and we should be content with what God has given to every one of us. Be happy with where God has us and what God has blessed us with. There are blessings that come to us. And many people who are ignorant of the blessings of God, they go through life not even giving God any credit for what they have. I think of the blessings by which many men profit in this world. Prayer connects them to the very source of all life. It is through prayer, friends, that we get connected to God on a daily basis. We need that source of power in our life that can only come from God. Secondly, it's the psalmist in Psalm 36:9, David says this, "For with thee is the fountain of life." Paul himself said in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, "For in him we live and move and have our being." It is because of God's blessing to us, friends, that you and I are alive today. He gives us the very breath that you and I breathe. God's blessings are so abundant to us. And if you ever doubt God, friends, just go on a dark night outside, stand there, and look straight up into the sky and see the handiwork of God. We could not say there is no God by looking at what God has created all around us. The blessings of God are so abundant. His presence is everywhere we look, in every blade of grass, every loaf of bread that we eat. God is there giving that to each one of us. It is His blessing that comes down out of heaven to each one of us. It is God who answers prayer. Prayer changes things, friends, as nothing else. It saved Peter from drowning in Matthew chapter 30, verses 30 and 30, Matthew chapter 14, verses 30 through 31. It brought eyesight to the blind man in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 48. It brought back a boy from the dead in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 35. And it gave the thief on the cross the hope of eternal life, as we read in Luke chapter 23, verses 42 and 44. It brought the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples in Acts chapter 2. And they were able to go about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with power and boldness and conviction, because God's Spirit had come to them when they prayed. God has promised to answer prayers for each one of us. In fact, in Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, he says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee." That's what God is calling to you and I to do today, to come unto Him. Call on Him and see that He is good. God is good all the time, isn't He? Every situation, whether it's bad or good, God is good to us all the time. And God does answer prayers, and He's calling for us today to come to Him in prayer, to develop this relationship with Him. How can we ever know God if we never study His Word, if we never spend time with Him in prayer? How do we intend to have a personal relationship with Him at all? It doesn't happen just because we come to church and we rub shoulders with people in the church that we think are spiritual. No. We become spiritual because we have God's Holy Spirit residing in our hearts, and we spend time with Him on a daily basis, studying His Word and listening to the Spirit of God speak to our hearts about the need that we have of doing the will of God. And we spend time praying to God, verbalizing to God our thankfulness to Him, thanking Him for every blessing that He has given us. And we speak to Him about the burdens of our heart. I believe it's important for us to have that kind of communication with God. That's one of the spiritual disciplines that all Christians need to have, is spending time with God in prayer and in Bible study. It will enrich our life. And if you want your life to grow, friends, you have to be able to share, to witness to other people about what God has done for you. A personal testimony that nobody can refute what you have experienced. Nobody can say, "Oh, that's not true. It doesn't happen. It's not real." When God comes to you, friends, as a result of your prayers or somebody else's, and He opens up the door of your heart so that the Holy Spirit can reside within there and bring you into repentance and confession and forgiveness and salvation, that is that testimony that you and I need to give to the world. God is depending on us to give this message to people around us. And it is prayer that leads us through that. Also, I believe that it has been proven over and over for prayer to be profitable for us. But it's profitable for other people too. How many times have we prayed for people and we've seen great miracles happen? How many times have we had anointings for people that were desperately ill? We prayed for them desperately and anointed them, as the Bible tells us in James chapter 5. And we have seen God work miracles in the life of other people as a result of that. Because we trusted in God and God answered. Now that isn't true always, in the sense that God answers everything that you and I ask for. But God knows what's best for each one of our lives, and He answers those prayers in accordance to His will for us. And I believe that if we could pull back the curtain on the life of that we have, we would see how God has interacted with us in a perfect way. There are things that happen in our lives that we have no reason for. There are things that are going to come upon us that we don't even know anything about, but God does. And so He answers prayers in a way that is the blessing for every person who is praying to Him. But why do we pray? It's because God wants us to. He wants us to have this relationship with him. He wants us to spend time with him. In the Old Testament, he built a sanctuary and dwelt there in the sanctuary so he could have a personal relationship with the people that were encamped around that sanctuary. There is the temple in the New Testament where people came to worship God. It was there that God wanted to be with them. And Jesus says in Revelation that if he's standing at the door knocking, that if we will open our heart and let him come in, he will have a personal relationship with us. And when we get to heaven, friends, guess what? We have an eternity to spend with him. Why not get used to doing that now? Why not have that kind of relationship with Jesus today that will take us through this life and into the next one that will last forever? God spoke a parable, and I think Jesus spoke this in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he spoke this parable unto those people unto this end, that man ought always to pray and not faint. And Paul himself said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Now, I know that's not possible for you to be on your knees praying to God 24/7. But I can tell you this, if you're going to drive 465, please, be prayed up when you go on that road. There's some other dangerous highways around. But we need to be prayed up because we don't know what life has in store for us. I can't tell you what's going to happen in your life or mine 5 minutes from now. I just know right now, at this instant, we need to be in an attitude of prayer. And I think that's what God wants us to be, is to be praying without ceasing, to have this special contact with God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Paul said that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul exhorts Timothy, and he says, I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. It's important, friends, for us to thank God for every blessing that he has. Everything that we have comes to us from God, and we should be thanking him for that. We should be asking him also to help us through this life that we live. We're living in this time of great controversy, where the good and the evil are butting heads together. I don't know about you, friends, but when the things of the world collide with the things of God, I want to be on God's side. What about you? I want to stand strong for God. And it's easy to do that when things are easy for us to say, yes, I'm going to be on God's side. But what about when the winds of strife that the four angels of Revelation are holding back, what is going to happen when those angels let go and the strife comes upon this world in a way that it has never, ever seen before? What will we do then to stand for Jesus? Will we have the strength? Well, if you're waiting until that time to prove to you that, yeah, the end is coming and that I need to do something, you may have waited just a little bit too late. Now is the time for us to develop a relationship with God that will see us through not only this time, but for all of the bad times that are coming upon this world. Things are changing drastically, rapidly. Things are changing. Jesus is coming soon, friends. And we need to be ready for what's happening. We need to be ready to go home with Jesus. And when we go home, friends, there's no U-Hauls taking our stuff with us. Yeah. The scriptures tell us it's all going to burn. So we need to have a connection with Jesus where the real gift of life is at. That's where the real money is at, is with Jesus. It's with him that we're blessed with the gift of salvation. It is through Jesus, friends, that you and I are wealthy beyond compare of any billionaire that might be in this world. All of the riches of the world cannot buy the redemption that Christ has offered to us freely. And so whoever you are, wherever you're at today, if you're listening to this message today, I appeal to you in the name of Jesus Christ to open your heart's door and let him come in and experience this gift of salvation and redemption that only Jesus Christ can give, because he loves you so much. He wants to spend eternity with you in heaven. And so I'm hoping today that you will make a decision to be a part of that family of God. Prayer is the best way out of all of our troubles, friends. It's the best cure for every worry that we have in our life. And for all of those anxious cares, prayer is what we need more than anything else. Listen. Going on Facebook cannot cure your ills. In many cases, it can only make it worse. If you have a problem, come to Jesus. He's the great physician. He's the one that hears all of those prayers. He's the one that wants to be close to us. He's the one that can answer those blessings and give us this peace in our hearts, friends. If we're anxious about anything, we need to be close to Jesus. I think there are many people that have experienced the blessing of prayer. When a load of burden has fallen off of them because they have prayed to God for help. Listen to this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father..." I'm reading in John. Excuse me. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Casting all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." Listen, the devil wears a slippery suit. And if we're not careful, he's going to slip it on us. And the only way we can protect ourselves, friends, is to be in the Word and praying to God on a daily basis so he does not deceive us and destroy us. We must have this personal connection with Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that will get us through to the end. And I'm going to tell you here today, friends, that is the only thing that will get us into heaven is Jesus. Jesus himself made this appeal to the people who were listening around him, and it still is valid for today. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Won't you come to Jesus today with all of your burdens, with all your trials, with all your anxious moments? Come to Jesus and let him take care of all of those problems. He is strong. He is able to hold up this whole world. He is able to take care of every issue of your life and mine. And he is willing to come when we speak to him about our need. When we cry out to Jesus, friends, he is there to help each one of us. Because answered prayers are an irrefutable argument for Bible Christianity, I believe that we need to be able to witness about God and his grace to each one of us. In John chapter 9, verse 25, we have this story in John chapter 9 of a blind man being healed. Then after the healing took place there on the Sabbath, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were gathered around this man, asking him who did this and how they do it and why they do it on the Sabbath. And they said, "Who was this sinner that did all this stuff on the Sabbath?" And this man says, "I don't know who he is. But this one thing I know, that where I was blind, now I see." Praise God for that. What a witness. Could not refute his personal testimony because it was the truth. And it was what he experienced and not them. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, I want you to look at this. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning at verse number 29. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning at verse number 29, it says this. "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart, and with all thy soul." This is an appeal to every one of us today, to seek God with all of our heart. Don't let things of this world crowd God out of your life, friends. And then in verse 30, it says, "When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee in the latter days." That's the days in which we live just before Jesus comes. The latter days that Joel chapter 2 talked about, and what Acts chapter 2 expresses, these latter days is what you and I live in. The time just before the return of Jesus. And so it says there, "And all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God." Praise God for that. "And he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them." God knows who you are, friends. He knows exactly your name and exactly where you live. He has not forgotten any of us. And in the resurrection, and at the second coming, he knows exactly who is a real part of his family. I want to be a part of that family today. What about you? Yes. I think that was Elijah's great argument that brought Israel back to God. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36 through 39, let's look at that. 1 Kings chapter 18. In chapter 18 there, in beginning in verse 36, it says, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Listen, friends, when you pray to God and you see dramatic differences in your life or in the life of some other individual, and you have known that God answered those prayers, it ought to be us who give a witness and a testimony about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Let's let the world know that the God we serve is not made out of stone. He's not made out of wood, but he is the living, real God of this universe who has not only created us, but redeemed us at the cross of Calvary. Today, friends, because prayer, I think, is a reasonable thing for you and I to do, I believe it is a sin for us not to pray. It is a sin for us to eat food or to receive blessings from God and never give him thanks for what he's done for us. It would be a sin for us to ignore God and everything he has done for us. And when Elijah stood on Mount Carmel and he prayed to the God of heaven, God answered his prayer. And I contend today that God has answered many prayers for each one of us. Maybe not in the way, exactly the way we wanted it, but what was best for each one of us. What was in the will of God for our life. And so today, I appeal to you. Develop this relationship with Jesus. Spend time with him in prayer. Spend time in his word. And when you have been blessed and touched in your life by the will of God, by his blessing and power, I want you to share that with everybody around you. Give a testimony of how great, how good, how merciful, how compassionate, how forgiving, how loving God is to you. Will you join me in prayer today, please? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love and your blessing. I thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord. I thank you for answering in the way that is best for each one of us. Today, Lord, if there's people in our audience struggling with issues of their life, may they come to you with all their trials and tribulations and anxious moments, and may they find solace and peace in you. Bless us with your presence in our life. We pray and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.